This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, July 19th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
The dollar strengthens while China's currency continues its march lower.
Trade concerns show up in earnings as the biggest U.S. aluminum producer cuts its forecast.
Japan, meanwhile, warns the White House of a strong response if auto tariffs are imposed.
President Trump claims he told Vladimir Putin to stay out of America's elections, but stopped short of calling him a liar. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, golf's third major and oldest tournament, the Open Championship, underway from Carnoustie.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector's Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
The dollar stronger once again this morning while U.S. futures and European equities lose ground. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points this morning. Dow futures down 25. NASDAQ futures down about 11. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. So is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.61%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 55 cents to $68.21 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.8% on $9.30 to $12.18.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.16.15 and the yen, 112.94. Bob.
We begin in China with the yuan weakening yet again this morning. The currency fell to a 1-year low, and still China's central bank shows little sign of intervening. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Economists say, yes, this is more about softening the blow as a result of the trade war to give exporters a bit of breathing space. Others would say this is more about U.S. dollar strength. So there's that debate going on, but it's certainly interesting to see that the policymakers here have been apparently relatively relaxed about seeing the currency depreciate by about 7% year to date.
Now, PIMCO says it expects China will continue to tolerate higher volatility in the yuan and a moderate weakening of the currency.
Data this morning from Japan illustrate the broader trade war concerns. Exports from Japan to the U.S. fell 0.9% in June. That's the first decline in 17 months and comes even as the country's trade surplus grew to more than $5 billion.
Japan's trade minister, meantime, says the U.S. can expect a strong response if it imposes auto tariffs. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg through an interpreter.
Japan won't take the same approach to handling U.S. tariffs on cars and auto parts that it took for steel and aluminum tariffs. But I can say the damage would be huge to not only the Japanese economy, but also to the U.S. and global economy.
Japan's trade minister also tells us he is working with the European Union to address President Trump's protectionist trade policies.
And sources tell Bloomberg the EU is preparing a new list of American goods to hit with protective measures. That's in case a mission to Washington next week fails to persuade President Trump not to raise levies on cars. The European Commission is working on measures that would be ready immediately if the White House imposes tariffs on European auto exports.
Here in the U.S., the Commerce Department holds public hearings on those proposed auto tariffs today. At issue is whether imports of passenger vehicles imperil U.S. national security. The hearing comes as auto industry groups have been stepping up efforts to sway the president against imposing levies.
Trade is also showing up in earnings with Alcoa, the biggest U.S. aluminum producer, lowering its profit forecast, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Alcoa cites tariffs on imported aluminum and higher energy costs. Aluminum has slipped about 25% from an almost 70-year high reached in April in the wake of U.S. sanctions on Russian producer United Rusal. In the second quarter, Alcoa incurred $15 million of costs for tariffs on imports from its foreign operations for U.S. sale. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of eBay down about 6% this morning. The company rattled investors by trimming its annual revenue forecast. That on top of lackluster second quarter sales. And that's sparking concerns. eBay is struggling in the shadow of Amazon.
Shares of IBM are up about 3% in early trading. The company reported sales growth in the second quarter and says its cloud business is performing well. At the same time, profit margins remain low, and IBM's Watson units saw a slight decline in sales.
We get earnings today from 21 companies in the S&P 500, including Microsoft. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
The analysts are bullish. Microsoft gets 31 buy ratings, just two hold ratings, and a pair of sell ratings. Bloomberg Intelligence says the company's fourth quarter results should reflect increases in IT spending worldwide. Increased adoption of hybrid cloud likely helped to drive growth, and continuing upgrades of computers to Windows 10 should have resulted in solid gains for commercial PCs. Adverse currency movements may have hurt reported results. Wall Street forecasts are for Microsoft to post an adjusted profit of $1.08 a share on revenue of $29.2 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. We have a lot of earnings out of Europe this morning, including results from Publicis, SAP, and Unilever. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik joins us live from London with the details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yes, it was a surprise sales slump in the second quarter from Publicis. That adds to the evidence that the advertising industry is seeing a downturn from the shift to digital media. And it's seen Publicis drop by the most in almost 3 years. Better news for software maker SAP. It's raising its 2018 outlook as cloud sales growth accelerates. But it did see a slowing in new bookings, which is an indication of future revenue growth. And Unilever expects a bounce back in the second half. That's after a truckers' strike in Brazil held back sales growth in the early part of the year. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. And retail sales in the UK unexpectedly dropped in June. Sales fell 0.5% from May, compared with a median estimate calling for a gain of 0.2%. The pound is weakening following the data. It's currently down around 0.5%, trading at $1.3006.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 4.5 points, Dow futures down 25, NASDAQ futures down 11, and the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.88%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning.
And good morning to you, Bob. President Donald Trump says in an interview with CBS that he told Vladimir Putin to stay out of America's elections. The president was also asked if he now holds Putin responsible for election meddling.
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
The shifting stance came Wednesday as Mr. Trump spent more time managing the fallout from his widely criticized summit with Putin in Helsinki. Mr. Trump said that Russia isn't currently targeting the U.S. That diverges from a public statement his own intelligence director made 2 days earlier. After a reporter asked during a cabinet meeting whether Russia was still targeting the U.S., Mr. Trump first tried to avoid answering by telling the assembled media thank you, usually a sign he won't take questions. But then he lowered his voice and responded, no. FBI Director Christopher Wray says Russia continues to use fake news, propaganda, and covert operations to influence Americans.
It's a threat that we need to take extremely seriously and respond to with fierce determination and focus.
He was speaking at the Aspen Security Forum in Colorado. He addressed the growing concern about the midterm elections possibly being hacked. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said Wednesday President Trump entertained a proposal from Vladimir Putin to let Russian authorities pose questions to the former U.S. ambassador to Moscow, allowing the interrogation of the former American ambassador who held diplomatic immunity while in Moscow could be unprecedented. The FBI director, Wray, made it clear he doesn't support that idea. The New York Times reports the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance has opened an investigation into whether the Donald J. Trump Foundation violated state tax laws. That's a move that could lead to criminal referral for possible prosecution. The inquiry may cover some of the same issues raised by the New York Attorney General in a lawsuit filed against the Trump Foundation last month. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, thanks very much. Now 5:09 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. It's where the game of golf originated. Across the pond, as the 147th Open Championship is underway from historic Carnoustie Golf Links in Scotland, a par 71. Leaderboard update. South Africa's Eric Van Rooyen is the early leader at 4-under par on the 12th hole. Matthew Southgate and Danny Willett are 3-under par, also on the back nine. Germany's Martin Keimer is even par on the 13th, while Americans Phil Mickelson and Webb Simpson are even par on the 6th hole. Tiger Woods, who came into the tournament 25-1, says the time off has given him a better understanding of the game.
Each tournament I keep coming back to, I keep feeling a little bit better because I'm starting to play some golf again. My feels are much better than they were at the beginning of the year, and I feel like I have a better understanding of my game and my body and my swing much more so than I did at Augusta.
Tiger tees off just before 1:30. Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, two heavy favorites, are on the tee box. Baseball's second half begins Friday for both local clubs. For Yankees All-Star Aaron Judge, he's basking in the glow of another All-Star game victory in which he hit one of 10 home runs.
You know, we had a great first half. You know, we're not where we want to be, you know, especially, you know, chasing Boston right now. But, you know, we'll recover, you know, rest up a little bit over the break and, you know, get going in the second half. You know, we just got to keep playing our game. And we got a great young team. You know, we're a team that likes to have fun. So if we just keep things simple, you know, we'll be where we want to be at the end of the year.
The Yankees are 4.5 back of Boston, will host the Mets in the Subway Series, while the Red Sox visit Detroit. And it's official, Manny Machado's dealt from the Orioles to the Dodgers for 5 prospects. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Pushka. And in sports business news, 3-time NBA champion Dwayne Wade has signed a lifetime contract with Chinese apparel company Li-Ning. Wade's relationship with Li-Ning began in 2012 after he previously was an endorser for Converse and Jordan Brand. Financial details of the contract were not revealed, though it's believed total could reach tens of millions of dollars. S&P futures down 4 points. That is a tenth of 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is extending gains in the wake of Federal Reserve signals that the U.S. economy is on solid footing, a downbeat mood gripping equities where U.S. futures and European stocks are following Asian peers lower as the corporate earnings season continues to ramp up. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 5 points right now. Dow futures down 30. Nasdaq futures down 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5.30. Seconds. Yield 2.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 55 cents to $68.21 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% on $10.50 to $12.1740 an ounce. The euro, $1.1611 and the yen, 112.99. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time at 9:45. It's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index and at 10 leading economic indicators and 21 companies in the S&P 500 scheduled to report earnings today, including Travelers, Microsoft, and Philip Morris. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. The White House is struggling to explain President Trump's posture on Russian election meddling. Senator Susan Collins, a Maine Republican, told reporters this is dizzying. The Trump administration's plan to subsidize unprofitable coal and nuclear plants may cost as much as $35 billion a year. This is according to a study backed by trade groups opposed to the idea. And in the UK, the odds of a challenge to Prime Minister Theresa May's leadership appear to be receding as Parliament winds down for its summer recess. Bloomberg Sports. Baseball resumes from the All-Star game with one game. The Cubs host the Cardinals, and first-round action is underway at the British Open in Scotland. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, thanks very much. Now 519 on Wall Street. As we reported a moment ago, the European Union is preparing a new list of American goods to hit with protective measures. That's according to a person familiar with the move. Just in case a mission to Washington next week fails to persuade President Donald Trump not to raise car tariffs. A perfect subject to take up with Charles Dumas, chief economist for T.S. Lombard, joining us on the line in London now. Charles, good morning and thanks for being with us. So are you concerned or are you confident this is all going to be worked out before it does any real damage?
No, I'm concerned. I mean, I think we're sort of more pessimistic than consensus on this particular thing. The problem is that it's very difficult to see a settlement of the Chinese side of this trade war maneuvers, which is going to be satisfactory from the standpoint of the Trump voters in the Midwest. And so I don't see any kind of urge to go to that, because the likely settlement is going to involve obviously something on North Korea, which is nice to have, and probably something on intellectual property. But I'm not sure how much voters care about that, whereas it almost certainly involves giving up sanctions on imports, which are the sort of main issue, and probably accepting the fact that you know, the U.S. is now in a multipolar world and no longer obviously number one.
Yeah,
so
question...
from the standpoint of voters, you know, it doesn't really hang up. And so when you get to Europe, that's where the grievance is very much more readily actually dealt with, because in Europe there is a huge current account surplus and trade surplus arising from the policies of the ECB. And keeping the euro exchange rate extremely cheap, so this move to make the trade war maneuvers against Europe is a much more profitable line from the standpoint of the administration.
Yeah, when you say that the U.S. is dealing with a multipolar world right now, my question exactly, the president seems to think that he can take this as a negotiating point to different places, but if he doesn't settle in one area, does settle in another area, this doesn't happen in a vacuum, right?
Well, it certainly is. There is a risk, clearly, in fighting on two fronts, as has been shown in numerous situations in real wars as opposed to trade war. But, you know, all I'm saying really is that there is not only a much more justifiable grievance against the European surpluses than against the Chinese surpluses, because the Chinese surplus is just bilateral with the United States. With the world at large, it's largely close to balance. So there's a much better argument with Europe. And in addition, there's less collateral damage from any kind of trade war, because the U.S. obviously is damaged by trade war with China, in as much as there's so much U.S. imports and supply chains which involve China. Whereas with Europe, it doesn't really matter too much. You know, a few cars, well, you produce plenty of cars in Detroit. So, and in fact, most of the Mercedes-Benz in U.S. are made in the U.S. So, you know, it's very difficult to see a really successful outcome for the Chinese side of this maneuver. And so the switch to a European attack is looks to me like the next step. And it's something which they need to continue basically through the electoral period with the banging the drum, quite frankly.
Got about a minute left here. How much does this affect the overall economy and cause the Federal Reserve to sort of change course?
Well, I mean, Powell dealt with this beautifully in the Humphrey Hawkins testimony when he said, you know, you guys in Congress gave the president the power to make tariffs unilaterally, and if you don't like it, you can take the power back. Well, you know, in other words, he's going to wait and see. And for the time being, he's assuming the U.S. is on an expansion track, and we certainly expect a couple more hikes this year, but we're much less confident that there will be hikes next year than we were before, because we see this trade war thing starting to slow down the CapEx ratios in the United States and possibly making inflation a bit worse.
Charles Dumas is chief economist for T.S. Lombard. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently down by 5 points. That is not quite 0.2%. Dow futures lower by 28 points. NASDAQ futures down 11 points. 10-year treasury prices down 5/32. The yield at 2.8876%. West Texas Intermediate crude continues to slide. It's down 0.8% this morning at $68.19 a barrel. Brent crude lower by 1% at $72.16. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Withum Smith & Brown, Audit, Tax, and Advisory Services, helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. China's yuan is trading near a one-year low as the central bank shows little sign of intervening to slow the currency's descent. The yuan has fallen more than 4% in the past month, the worst performance among 31 major currencies.
China, meanwhile, is accusing American officials of making false accusations. It's firing back against a claim that Xi Jinping is blocking trade talks with the U.S.
Bloomberg News has learned the European Union is preparing a new list of American goods to hit with protective measures. That's in case a mission to Washington next week fails to persuade President Donald Trump not to raise tariffs on cars.
Economists say jobless claims probably edged higher last week, rising to 220,000. The government issues the data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Bloomberg Economics counsels against rushing to judgment with today's jobless claims report. Auto industry retooling tends to throw a wrench into employment data this time of year. In the prior report, jobless claims dropped to 214,000, the lowest since early May and close to a half-century low. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinnie. On the corporate front, Microsoft, Travelers, and Danaher lead more than 20 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today.
Let's get you caught up on some key earnings after the closing bell yesterday. IBM shares up 3% in early trading, profit topping estimates, and the company says its cloud business is performing well.
Shares of American Express fell almost 3% in extended trading. Analysts were disappointed. The credit card lender did not boost its full-year earnings forecast.
Alcoa shares dropped more than 2%. The biggest U.S. manufacturer of aluminum lowered its 2018 profit projection as tariffs on aluminum present what the company is calling a significant headwind.
eBay shares are down almost 6% in early trading. The company trimmed its annual revenue forecast, signaling it is losing momentum as the critical holiday season approaches.
And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 32. NASDAQ futures down 12.5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 73 cents to $68.03 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $11.70 to $12.1630 an ounce. The euro, $1.1597. The yen, 113.04. And Bitcoin's up 0.1% at $7,346. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. News at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The White House continues to struggle to explain President Donald Trump's posture on Russian election meddling, and some administration officials are concerned there may be no shaking public perception that Mr. Trump is too cozy with Vladimir Putin. In an interview with CBS, the president says he was firm with Putin during their Helsinki summit.
I let him know we can't have this, we're not going to have it, and that's the way it's going to be.
Asked if he holds Putin responsible for election meddling, the president responded, "Well, I would because he's in charge of the country." FBI Director Christopher Wray has spoken up on the question of Russian meddling in the U.S. elections. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports, says it is still ongoing.
Wray says Russia is still very much in the game.
The intelligence community's assessment has not changed. My view has not changed, which is that Russia attempted to interfere with the last election and that it continues to engage in malign influence operations to this day.
He says a Mueller probe is not a witch hunt. He also says that in the long run, China is much more a threat than Russia. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A senior Senate Republican says he'll propose new sanctions on Russia that could only be waived if the administration certifies Moscow has ceased interfering in the U.S. elections. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a sometime ally of President Trump, says he wants Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to cooperate on sending a strong signal that the U.S. won't tolerate further attempts to meddle in its politics. In the UK, the odds of a challenge to Prime Minister Theresa May's leadership appear to be receding as Parliament winds down for its summer recess. Bloomberg's Alex Morales reports from London.
Officially, the break makes no difference to whether Conservatives can depose their leader. But a person familiar with the process told Bloomberg that realistically, it would be difficult to administer a vote of confidence while members of Parliament are on holiday. During a busy day in Parliament, May took her weekly questions in the House of Commons chamber before a much lengthier and less frequent grilling from senior lawmakers who chair various parliamentary committees. May rounded off the day at a meeting of rank-and-file lawmakers where she sought to unite her divided party at a largely positive meeting in which one lawmaker said he'd withdrawn his letter calling for a confidence vote. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York and New Jersey are among six states that accuse the U.S. in a lawsuit of trying to coerce states and cities into enforcing the Trump administration's immigration policies by illegally threatening to withhold federal criminal justice grants. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 5:36 just ticked over on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, and good morning to you, Rob Bushkin.
Good morning, Bob. Golf's third of four majors is off and running from Carnoustie Golf Links in Scotland. It's the 147th Open Championship, also known as the British Open. Jack of the leaderboard finds Erik van Rooyen and Danny Willett tied at 14 under par on the 14th. Martin Keimer is one under on the 16th. Phil Mickelson is even par on the 8th. Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler are just underway. Tiger Woods was asked about the young core of talent in the game like Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler and how the game has changed.
Really close, but they've been close since junior golf and made out here on tour very quickly, and almost the same time frame. I think that's one of the reasons why you see them, you know, hanging around with each other all the time, whereas I really didn't because it took the guys I knew really well a few years to get out here.
Tiger is a 25-1 favorite. Fowler is 16-1. Spieth listed at 20-1. Phil Mickelson, 50-1. Tiger has not won a major since 2008. He tees off at 10-21. Baseball second half gets underway tonight. One game, the Cubs and Cardinals. It's the Subway Series Friday from the Bronx. Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge knows the second half's a grind.
You know, rest up a little bit over the break and, you know, get going in the second half. You know, we just got to keep playing our game. And we got a great young team. You know, we're a team that likes to have fun. So if we just keep things simple, you know, we'll be where we want to be at the end of the year.
New York is 4.5 back of Boston. Baltimore trades infielder Manny Machado to the Dodgers for five prospects. In NBA news, Forbes has announced the Knicks are the most valuable NBA franchise worth $3.6 billion, seventh most valuable in pro sports. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushkin. Now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on why making a midsize sedan is so hard for Tesla. Also in this week's issue, how China is taking on Silicon Valley. Christina Lindblad edited the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
In the year to date, we're running at $60 billion into Chinese startups. In the U.S., we're at $44 billion. So it looks like this year China may overtake the U.S. in venture capital.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Airbnb must share the names and addresses of hosts with New York City officials thanks to a new law. It's designed to help enforce existing rules banning short-term rentals. Airbnb claims the policy will subject innocent hosts to over-policing and violates their privacy. Sales of single-family homes in Greenwich rose 5.6% in the second quarter from a year earlier, the biggest increase for that period since 2015, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. The median price of the properties that changed hands rose 6.2% to $1.9 million. Operators of so-called games of chance on the Jersey Shore better not be cheating. The State Division of Consumer Affairs is sending inspectors this week to boardwalk games, booths, and stores on New Jersey boardwalks. By the time they're done, they'll visit every one of the state's 266 amusement games. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
I can never knock over those bottles for some reason. I don't know why. It is now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Papa John's surges on a report the company held merger talks with Wendy's.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing continues to ring up orders at the big air show outside of London.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a surprise slide for UK retail sales in June.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on the Philly Fed business outlook.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting Fiat Chrysler says CEO Sergio Marchionne's successor will be chosen from internal candidates.
Thank you all. This is Bloomberg. Or you can check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. Follow us at TikTok. That's TikTok.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is extending gains in the wake of Federal Reserve signals that the U.S. economy is on solid footing, and a downbeat mood is gripping equities. For U.S. futures and European stocks following Asian peers lower as the corporate earnings season ramps up. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6 points now. Dow futures down 34. NASDAQ futures down 15. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2%, down 79 cents to $67.97 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.9% on $11.30 to $12.1650 an ounce. The euro at $1.1602 and the yen 113.05. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. President Trump's flip-flopping on Vladimir Putin in Russia continues to keep the White House in chaos. The president said on CBS, Putin better not interfere in future elections, but earlier replied no to a question on whether the Kremlin is still targeting the U.S. That contradicts his own spy chief. The New York Times reports the Donald J. Trump Foundation is under investigation by New York state officials for possibly violating state tax laws. It may lead to a criminal referral for possible prosecution. The opposition Labour Party's attempt to keep all sides happy on Brexit ultimately saved UK Prime Minister Theresa May from a potentially catastrophic defeat this week. Bloomberg Sports, first round action underway at the British Open in Scotland. Eric Van Rooyen is the leader at 5 under. Tiger Woods tees off later this morning. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jen, good morning. Leonid Bershitsky says Apple deserves a fine from the EU too. But even if you can see that the European Union had solid reasons to fine Google and not Apple for antitrust reasons pertaining to the bundling of apps with a Android system, why should Apple still merit some attention?
The idea is that if Google is at fault for its de facto monopoly in Android app stores, Apple should be held to account for a similar violation. So although an Android user can easily shop in a few alternative stores, an iPhone user cannot go outside Apple's app store without jailbreaking the phone. And that's a process that disables operating system updates. And that makes Apple a monopoly in the truest sense of the word.
And there's a lesson here from Microsoft's run-in with the European regulators, right?
Yeah, that's right, because Microsoft was fined twice for not giving users a choice of browsers on Windows computers. And so the remedy there shows that letting people decide for themselves creates a level playing field for competition. And so now here we are in Chrome, and not a Microsoft-developed program is now the most popular browser on Windows.
So does that make it likely that the EU Competition Commissioner is going to want to get involved here?
I mean, trying to regulate these big tech giants requires a lot of resources, so it's fair enough to say that the regulator should concentrate on areas where she thinks she's on solid ground. But there's still a case to be made for regulatory interference in the app pre-installation practices. So Europe actually has a really sizable app economy. In 2017, it employed 1.9 million people compared to 1.7 million people in the U.S. So Google's ruling should really be seen as a first step, not an isolated attack on one U.S. company for something that others do as well.
And Liam Denning has 60 reasons why President Trump worries about pump prices. What are those reasons, and is it something to do with the midterm elections in November?
That's absolutely right. It is. Higher pump prices are especially painful if you drive more and earn less than average, which happens to be more common in the red states. The average red state driver bought almost a fifth more gasoline than the average blue state driver in 2017, paying for it out of disposable personal income that was 16% lower. So the 60 reasons are the 60 House races, currently defined as either leaning Republican or Democrat or a toss-up.
So why is this a big deal now? Aren't oil prices falling?
Yeah, you're absolutely right that they are. But the point is that the pain people are feeling at the pump is getting worse. At current prices, annualized, gasoline would take an average of 3% of disposable personal income for voters across the 60 House races that Denning's focused on. And that's up from 1.76% using the price from a year earlier.
Okay, so if we're going to carry this through, then what are the trouble zones for the Republican Party?
So these are areas where drivers feel a heavy burden and are getting whiplashed by a rapid increase. So the district that Denning identifies are the Kentucky 6th District, Montana's single seat, and Maine's 2nd. Also featuring are Wisconsin's 1st District, which is being vacated by Speaker Paul Ryan.
So what we're saying here is that higher oil prices would favor the Democrats, basically.
Well, it looks like you can really understand now why Donald Trump is going after OPEC, you know, the Congress potentially introducing legislation allowing lawsuits. Because even though the U.S. president has no control over how high oil prices are, you can't kind of blame him for trying, given the maths in the November midterm elections.
Okay. Our thanks to Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg opinion editor in our London bureau. And you can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The chairman of the Federal Trade Commission told Congress the CVS Health takeover of Aetna shouldn't get a free pass just because it involves companies in different markets. An administrative law judge is rejecting an agreement proposed by McDonald's to settle its dispute over union rights and pay. The labor board judge suggested the company delayed the case until the National Labor Relations Board was more management friendly. And a federal appeals court has ruled the government will have to pay $99 million for breach of contract to oil companies that produced aviation gas during World War II. The money would pay them back for environmental cleanup.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the FCC striking down Sinclair's plan to divest some assets as it tries to acquire Tribune Media. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Jim Grosso speaks with Matthew Schettenhelm, a litigation analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence.
So the FCC is sending the issues to an administrative judge for a hearing. How much of a setback is that for Sinclair and the deal?
This really is a major setback for the deal. The FCC, when it has issues with a transaction like this, it's not its practice to outright deny it. It's to effectively kill it with process by sending it to an administrative hearing that no company could you know, practically endure. And so you could face an administrative judge looking at these issues for 6 to 9 months, complete with discovery from your opposition, your foes, digging into your practices, cross-examination. And then the appeal goes to the media bureau at the FCC, and then another appeal still at the FCC. It's process after process, and there's no way you can get all that done and still, you know, want to go ahead with your deal. So a number of big transactions have been killed by the FCC designating these things for hearing. And so that's looks like the way it's going here at the FCC as well.
So Sinclair said it's prepared to resolve any perceived issues. So that's hopeful.
That's right. They're clearly not giving up yet. And there may be ways around. I don't expect Sinclair to be willing to go through all that process. And so what they may do instead is say, okay, FCC, you're concerned about our divestitures of three or four of these stations. You don't like who we're giving them to. Let us rework that. We'll fix that. And then you can put that out for comment. We can work with that. Let us address your concerns aside from all that process. I expect that's the next move. I don't think this necessarily is the end of the road for Sinclair Tribune. It's a very strong signal from Ajit Pai that he's not going to allow just anything, despite his general sympathy, I think, to Sinclair's position.
And that's Bloomberg Intelligence litigation analyst Matthew Schettenhelm speaking with June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Bob.
5:56 on Wall Street time for your Bloomberg ETF report from Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
Financial companies are first out of the gate with earnings, and that has been helping flows into the big financial ETF. Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. XLF is what we're talking about. That's the ETF. And it had a very poor performance in June.
Yeah, this is a comeback. And I'm asked a lot sometimes how earnings affect ETFs.
Yeah.
And they do, especially if there's a good streak of earnings after there's been a little bit of a sell-off. So here we have financial ETFs have taken in $400 million in the past week. That's their best week in about 12 weeks. And they saw about 4 weeks of straight outflows. So this is a huge comeback. And here's the thing. The flows have breadth. It's not just XLF, which is all of them together. The insurance ETF has taken in money. The regional bank, the bigger bank ETF, KBE. You even have ETFs that are smart beta bank ETFs taking in money. So you have a classic making of a rush into a sector to play it on earnings.
Yeah, what's interesting about that as well is that the insurers and some of the other types of financials have not yet reported the numbers. So the flows coming just on the back of the big bank's strength. Thanks so much, Eric, with the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Julie Hyman.
Julie, thank you. S&P futures currently down by 6 points. That is almost 0.25%. 10-year Treasury prices down 5/32, the yield up to 2.8894%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.